Shalom, everyone. Phase one negotiations and ceasefire in Gaza is now complete. The question is, are we going to extend the ceasefire for additional negotiations? Are we going to go to phase two in a totally different negotiation? Or are we going to go to war? Hostage negotiations this last week blew up in the U.S. face. I'll tell you about that. Ramadan has begun for the Muslims for this next month. The IDF has taken up strong positions in southern Lebanon and Syria, and the U.S. and Israel are now practicing long-range bombing missions together over the Mediterranean. They haven't done that for the last 2 years. Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Today's date is Friday, March 7th of the year 2025, and here's the news for the week. Well, the phase one negotiations were the ceasefire in Gaza, the return of some hostages, including some bodies, has now been completed. There is no more time on that phase one. Ron Dermer and Steve Witkoff from the United States are attempting to negotiate for phase two or to extend phase one for another 50 days or so, 6 weeks. And the effort is to try to get all the hostages returned in this next one. Here is Prime Minister Netanyahu making a statement on the process for the negotiations and one of the deals that was put forth by them.
Israel has accepted President Trump's envoy, Steve Witkoff's plan, to extend the temporary ceasefire by 50 days. During that time, we can discuss the conditions for a permanent ceasefire that will end the war in Gaza. In Witkoff's plan, half of the hostages would be released right away, and the remaining half would be released if we reach an agreement on a permanent ceasefire. Again, Israel has accepted this plan, I accepted this plan, but so far, Hamas has rejected it. Hamas had also put forward positions for a permanent ceasefire that are totally unacceptable. Israel has decided to stop letting goods and supplies into Gaza, something we've done for the past 42 days. We've done that because Hamas steals the supplies and prevents the people of Gaza from getting them. It uses these supplies to finance its terror machine, which is aimed directly at Israel and our civilians, and this we cannot accept. We will take further steps if Hamas continues to hold our hostages. And throughout this, Israel knows that America and President Trump have our back.
And as Netanyahu said, Hamas would not go for it. Well, right in the middle of that discussion and that negotiation, Axios broke a story about the U.S. secretly negotiating directly with Hamas. Apparently, Steve Witkoff went in and spoke directly to the Hamas operatives, asking them if they would surrender and just for humanitarian reasons, give an American hostage that is there, held by Hamas, give it over, showing good faith in the negotiations. The problem is that before it ever really got put together, is Axios broke the story, and it turns out that Israel did not know this was happening, and Netanyahu is not very happy about that taking place. As a result of the story breaking, Trump had to quickly make a statement about demanding all the hostages and trying to get back on the same side of the playing field with Israel, and about how Hamas needs to die if they don't give the hostages back.
Release all of the hostages now, not later, and immediately return all of the dead bodies of the people you murdered, or it's over for you. He also pledged to send Israel everything it needs to finish the job if they don't comply with his demands.
As I said to you, Netanyahu and Israel were not aware of this back-channel effort on the part of the U.S. to speak to Hamas. They are not happy about what the U.S. did there. It's very clear at this point that Trump was trying to pull off something that would put a feather in his cap. If you recall this last week, he made a speech on Tuesday. It was a great speech, by the way. And I think what he wanted to announce in the speech was that he had gotten an American hostage away from Hamas and he was trying to pull that off to support the speech and get that hostage back. But he's kind of playing loose on both sides of the fence with Netanyahu and Israel. Netanyahu and Israel were not happy about that because Trump had convinced them that he was fully supporting them with Steve Witkoff in the negotiations, that Israel was going to be a part of all the negotiations, and they were going to come up with a new approach for the negotiations. But it turns out that Trump was trying to play for his own gain, and he's been exposed for it. Netanyahu and Trump will have to have a meeting to kind of put all that back together again. But as a result, Trump has now explained that he's lost all patience with Hamas because he's now embarrassed about that whole affair. So what are the options at this point? So what is being discussed in the negotiations? Well, Israel is still willing to extend the ceasefire, not go to phase two, but extend it for half of the hostages. And just recently they said we'll accept 10 out of the 24 that still remain alive. If you give us 10 right away, we'll go ahead and extend it, and we'll work from there. The phase two negotiations effectively are completely dysfunctional now, but there's still yet another option that is being considered, and that is lay down the negotiations and let's go back to war. Israel has a new IDF chief of staff that has come in, and he has been talking about the way to prosecute the war against Gaza is a full siege in Gaza. That means stop all aid, no more water, no more food, go in and massively clean them out. Hamas heard about this and made some statements about threatening to kill the hostages if they do such a thing. However, there was a suspense that was given to Hamas about this subject, and that was this. If you don't agree to some kind of new hostage negotiation, if you don't extend phase one negotiations and continue the ceasefire, then we will execute and start the war again. And they told them that they only have a couple of days to make the decision as to what they're going to do. And as I come to you right now, we have not heard any word from Hamas about agreeing to that. Maybe that will happen later today or during this weekend. But just adding to the pressure for Hamas, Steve Witkoff, the U.S. representative for Trump, also made the comment that the U.S. military could join the IDF in operations in Gaza. That would mean that the U.S. would provide military support to the IDF, and that's more than providing, shall we say, intel to help them. There could be U.S. units and U.S. ordnance being deployed as a part of that. The U.S., of course, has the same kind of trained special operators that the IDF has, and it would certainly increase the pressure on Hamas if that were to happen. That is an incredible step forward. That's never been done before. Israel has always defended themselves and always said to the United States, we don't need your military support. We just need your support and backup, you know, to deal with the situation. The new IDF chief of staff is Eyal Zamir, and he's a fellow that's replaced Herzli Levy. And other senior commanders are also beginning to retire or announce their resignation. In fact, the IDF chief of the Southern Command has already announced that he will retire as soon as the hostages are all returned. There are other investigations going on. Even the chief spokesman for the IDF is not going to be promoted. And it looks like the investigations going into October 7th mistakes, the lack of preparedness on the part of the IDF to deal with Hamas, is resulting in a number of military leaders having to step down, step aside, as new ones come in and take their place. Well, this week also, with the new moon that came in, the Muslims are starting to celebrate Ramadan, and the Palestinians are doing so in Israel. It begins this week, and tens of thousands of Palestinians came to the Al-Aqsa Mosque there in Jerusalem at the Temple Mount. In fact, it was estimated some 90,000 People came to pray. And that's the reason why Israel is on guard, because they think there's going to be coming protests from the Palestinians, aggravated by the observance of Ramadan. And we've generally seen this in the past. Ramadan usually results in a lot of protests and a lot of consternation with Muslim communities in multiple nations. Israel is trying to prepare for that. Some of the discussions are that in future Friday prayers, they may limit the number of Palestinians that are going in there to the mosque, maybe limiting it to the older folks or the younger folks, but not the ones that are the age category that would be doing a lot of protesting. Just take a quick review around the rest of the perimeter of Israel. The IDF is now holding 5 key positions in Lebanon to guarantee that Hezbollah stays away from the border of Israel and does not come back in and remand those areas. There's a map that where it shows there's these 5 locations that rings around the border with Israel to keep them out. Now, Lebanon doesn't like that. The Lebanese leaders are calling for Israel to withdraw. And originally, the ceasefire that they put together did call for the IDF to withdraw. But Israel has made a case to the United States. The United States is in agreement with them that Israel needs to stay in those locations to make sure Hezbollah does not come back to the borders and threaten Israel again. This also guarantees the Israeli citizens that live in the northern areas of permitting them to move back to their homes and reestablish themselves there in their homes. It's been very difficult getting the Israeli citizens to believe the government of Israel to go back and re-inhabit their homes along the border with Lebanon for fear that Hezbollah is still there, still could be launching rockets, and still come across the border to attack. So this is the effort on the part of Israel to block Hezbollah from attempting to do any of that, and at the same time allow the Israeli citizens to return to their homes. The IDF has also established a buffer zone in the southern part of Syria. Again, the same situation, keeping Hezbollah elements and other terrorists, Palestinian and otherwise terrorists, away from the Israeli border, and at the same time keeping track on what's going on in Syria. In Syria, as you know, we have a rebel government that has come in and uprooted Bashar Assad. He left the country. This new rebel government leader is being supported by Turkey. And of course, the rebel government leader in Turkey are complaining about Israel being inside of the perimeter, past the border of Syria. There is also in Syria, there's a breakout now between the Alawite factions. That's Bashar Assad's group. Those are the Syrian nationalists that are now fighting the new rebels that came in. So we've got another Syrian civil war brewing on our hands up in Syria. Israel is staying in there to keep an eye on things to make sure none of that makes its way down to their border. In Egypt and with the other Arab nations, they decided to come up with a plan for the reconstruction of Gaza. They didn't like Donald Trump's plan to make Trump Gaza Hotel there. And so they dismissed what Trump was saying. They said they have a plan, put it together. Well, they put a plan together, a lot of money being committed to it. However, their plan does not call for the complete elimination of Hamas. And because of that, the U.S. and Israel rejected their plan and said it's just not going to work. We have to have Hamas completely gone out of Gaza. They cannot be part of the political structure, and they cannot be part of the military structure there. We need a Gaza Strip that is completely de-armed from that. Egypt and a couple other nations did not come up with that plan. The UN has estimated that it is going to be a horrendous $11 billion price tag just to get in there and get the infrastructure going again so that people can inhabit and rebuild and do what they need to do. An Arab summit being held in Cairo by Egypt. They invited all the Arab leaders to come and to further talk about the Gaza plan. And when they got there, and by the way, they began to discuss, and the whole thing fell apart. It fell apart right after they took the ceremonial pictures of every Arab leader attending the summit. So we had an Arab summit in Cairo, very impressive. Everybody got their picture taken, and then they all went home. So that kind of tells you and gives you some commentary on what's going on in trying to deal with Gaza in the Middle East and what to do with the Palestinians and Hamas there. So Israel has the problem right back in their lap to try to figure out what to do. The IDF and Shin Bet, the intel organization in Israel that specifically deals with the Palestinians, they are rooting out the Palestinian cities that are in Samaria. Those three Palestinian cities still are harboring terrorists in there. They're still trying to launch missions out of there into the rest of Israel, doing harm. We still have Israeli citizens being harmed by these people coming out of there. The IDF is trying to encircle it and keep track of it. This last week, they were able to kill the top Hamas terrorists there in one of the cities. And there's a report that Jordan stepped in and helped block some supplies that were coming from Iran for them in the West Bank in those Palestinian cities. So there's a major effort to try to, again, lock that down. I'm going to give you another reason here very shortly why Israel's putting such pressure on to get those Palestinian terrorists out of those cities. And it may, you'll understand the reason for it here in a couple of weeks. A very special announcement's coming. I'll share with you in a moment. In the meantime, Israel and the United States released a photo of a B-52 flying along, being escorted by three F-15s. And they were announcing that for the first time in 2 years that the United States and Israel are practicing long-range bombing missions together. They were practicing over the Mediterranean Sea, the flight and so forth. And this is clearly sending a message to Iran, because you don't need long-range bombing missions except if you're going after Iran. And furthermore, it's sending the message that the United States may be a participant along with Israel in those bombing missions. That's the way Iran is taking it. That's the way they're concerned about it. They think the U.S. and Israel are going to come after it. As a result, in Iran, they are practicing drills at the nuclear sites, assuming that they're going to be bombed, and they're trying to figure out what can they do, not so much to prevent it from happening, they can't do that, but what will they do if those missions come, and what will they do to try to save life and save equipment and so forth. So it looks like that's getting ready to come down the road. As you know, Trump has put some very serious sanctions on Iran. He's hoping they will take effect. He's hoping Iran will turn and try to come back to the table for talks and to stop their nuclear program. I don't think it's going to happen. I think that the Republican Guard has finally convinced the Iranian leaders that unless they have a weapon of mass destruction, namely a nuclear weapon, that the world is never going to respect them in that regard. That's a false idea, but that's the one that seems to be holding Khomeini's attention at the moment, and so he's not cooperating with the idea of having diplomacy. He's trying to buy time until he can get some kind of a crude bomb built. And of course, the U.S. and Israel have both said that the moment that they see that they're doing that, that they've made the decision to do that, that's the moment when they're going to go after them. So Israel and the United States are practicing right now for that mission. In other news, in Israel, the Haredi draft exemption bill, this is where the religious parties are trying to get the Knesset to say that Orthodox Jews, ultra-Orthodox Jews, don't have to join the IDF and do military service. Their whole concept of supporting Israel is they send them to yeshiva, and while they're studying Torah, they say because they're studying Torah, that's what helps protect Israel. The God of Israel protects Israel because they're there studying the Torah. This has been going on for a long time, and most of the governments, the coalition governments that we've had in the history of Israel, basically have to do business with the religious parties to get enough members in the Knesset to have a majority so they can form a coalition government. At the moment, the Netanyahu government has United Torah Judaism as a religious party as a part of the coalition government. He has a very slim majority. If the Haredi party decides to not support Netanyahu's coalition government, they have already threatened they will not support his government if they don't get that draft bill exemption passed. Well, the Knesset has blocked it, and they're not going forward with it. The people of Israel want the Orthodox to serve in the IDF just like every other family's young people have to serve in the military. And the chief rabbi for the United Torah Judaism has now come up with he's going to play powered politics. And so he said, I may not vote for the budget bill that's coming up in a couple of weeks. There is a law in Israel that the ruling coalition must pass an annual budget bill. If they cannot pass a budget bill for the money for the next year, that government collapses and there's an immediate call for new elections. So the Haredi party is threatening that they won't vote for the budget. It will cause the collapse of the Netanyahu coalition. By law, they will have to issue new elections. There are some that are announcing, even within Netanyahu's party, in Likud party, that if that happens, maybe it's time for Netanyahu to go ahead and step down as a leader of the Likud party, go ahead and resign, and let Likud come up with another candidate that would be potential leader. There's some people in the wings that are waiting in case that happens. Somebody who's been the PMs before includes Mr. Bennett. He is a possible candidate for the prime minister job. Lapid wants to do it as well. And Benny Gantz, who formerly was part of the war cabinet, he might even want to take a shot at it. So there are some other candidates that might want to be a part of the Israeli political scene if the Netanyahu coalition collapses. That's a very tense situation. That budget bill is coming up in the coming weeks. We're going to watch that real close because that could change the government of Israel. Now, if they don't get the budget bill, that does not mean that Netanyahu doesn't remain and the coalition doesn't remain. It's just that they go into an emergency government status until the elections are completed, but they would then begin to initiate the political process for new elections, and they probably would follow in a couple of months. The announcement that I'm getting ready to share with you, Trump has been hinting at something special is going to be happening in Israel in a couple of weeks. Also, the new ambassador that is going from the U.S. is going to Israel. He's hinted at it as well. And the reason why the IDF is working hard to get those terrorists out of those Sumerian cities is because there is the possibility that the U.S. and Israel is going to announce the annexation of the entire West Bank into Israel and that there will be no more two-state solution negotiations. It is completely dead. It is gone. And all of that land from the Mediterranean Sea all the way to the Jordan River will become part of the state of Israel. That is really a path that is a solution for Israel. It's not one that the Palestinians want. They've been using the two-state solution negotiations to continue their agitation against Israel. As I've shared with you before, the Palestinians appear they don't really want a state. I mean, I could go through the history of many negotiations. All they want is to kill Israel and keep Israel from having a state. And it's not so much they're trying to look for freedom or statehood or whatever. It's that they're just opposed to Israel that much. I think certain leaders in the U.S., and Israel's always known this, but I think the Trump administration has finally recognized this is what's really going on. And why are we playing that game since 1993 for a two-state solution? Let's end it and let's go forward with a different out-of-the-box solution. Here in the U.S., we still are having pro-Palestinian protests taking place at Columbia University and Barnard University up in New York. Saw the news media reports, all dressed up. By the way, did you notice they hide their faces, cover their eyes with sunglasses, because people are paying attention to who's doing that. Because right now, the universities are being threatened that if you don't stop those protests from taking place, then the federal government is planning on cutting off funding and contracts to those universities and bringing in the federal government to investigate the violation of federal law, not the least of which is civil rights laws that has to do with protecting Jewish students that go to those schools. This last week, more than 200 of the protesters were arrested. There are federal investigations now underway for several schools. And in fact, several schools have already announced their new change of policy to not permit any more Palestinian protesting going on in their universities. But a couple of them are still holding out for it. And so they've also discovered in the investigation there seems to be a single nonprofit fundraising organization that is feeding all the protesters funds and pays for them to be able to do the things that they do. That organization now facing multiple lawsuits as they've identified who they are, and the federal government is looking into them as to whether or not they have violated laws as well. As I've said before, I do not understand why they're not classified as riots when they start attacking other people and attacking police, and it's deemed an illegal assembly. It's called a riot. So arrest them, you know, and prosecute them for trespass and rioting. Just certain universities just don't have the will to deal with this situation. But Trump and the federal government, through the attorney general and others, are moving in and putting pressure on these universities to get this thing turned around. The U.S. has already revoked the foreign visa for one student who's been participating in it. And there's a threat that other foreign students that are going to those schools that participate in those protests, they will have their visas revoked and they will also be kicked out of the country. Furthermore, there's a suggestion being made that any student who participates in it, not only that they get kicked out of the university, but from that point on, they lose their eligibility to go to any university. They need to make up their mind whether they want to go to school and learn or if they want to be a bunch of protesters. We also have some professors in those universities that they need to reexamine what they're doing because they're the ones stirring up the students and a lot of these troubles. Let me step back and give you a little bit of commentary about what we see going on right now. As I've shared with you in the past weeks, there is a Torah commandment that tells us about a group of people called Amalek. And in two locations in the Torah, God instructs the sons of Israel to kill the sons of Amalek on sight in every generation. The commandment isn't really talking about a specific group of people. It's talking about an ideology. In fact, the way the commandment is written, remember what Amalek did to you when you came out of Egypt. Remember how they attacked viciously the weak, the aged, the edge of the camp. They really weren't trying to win the war. They just viciously wanted to kill and harm. We're talking about Amalek is the commandment that has to do with a group of people that are just filled with hatred. There's no logic to what they're doing. They're not trying to negotiate for a different position or whatever. They just want to kill Israel, and in this case, the Jewish people. This is the kind of harm that was done back in the Holocaust. We've all agreed the Holocaust was wrong. We're not going to accept it anymore. Amalek is just a minor version of the Holocaust, and they're trying to repeat it in this generation. Remembering Amalek and the commandment is not about choosing a particular people so we can be racist against them. Remembering Amalek is that God is telling every generation that evil has a name. The name is Amalek, and we have evil in this world. The evil of Hamas, the evil of the Palestinians that just want to kill Jews every opportunity they get. It's just full of hatred. Now, God says in every generation, we're to eliminate that evil. Hamas simply must die. No negotiations. Send them into history to be no more. Remove them from the United States as well. We have them here too. Remove them from all nations, wherever they may be. In this generation, the world needs to listen to the counsel of Almighty God. And I would like to remind everybody, Almighty God is smarter than all of the leaders of this world. I think it's high time that the leaders of this world recognize what God said. And by the way, he's been right for many generations about this. We're now facing it in our generation. I think we should listen to what he says and do what he says. And then hopefully we can get back on the path of peace. Obviously, I'm asking all of you to pray. Pray that we'll have the wisdom for our leaders to recognize the evil that we're dealing with. Thank you for viewing this program. Thank you for being a part of LionelLamb.tv. Thank you for joining in our other podcasts that are on the network. We're now on TikTok and X, the old Twitter. And we have the new Zadok calendar is available. And if you'd like to get one of those, we have them here at Lionel Lamb Ministries. Contact the office. We can get one out to you. Again, thank you for being a viewer of this program. Shabbat Shalom to all of you.